What's up, Atlanta? Happy hump day with Turtle. Yep, full four tonight. That means it's me and it's you, and it's 404-726-0929. Oren got it. He was a little late on the trigger, but that's okay. He still got there. He put the four fingers up. Now the show can officially begin. We will talk some college football tonight. We'll talk some Hawks. We'll get into some other things. But, of course, the only place to begin is where we've began. Pretty much since the season started, because it's been a season full of roller coasters, ups, downs, side to side, backwards, forwards, you name it. This has been the Atlanta Falcons 2025 season. And today, we find out Kirk Cousins will take over for the rest of the year, as Michael Penix Jr. will, in fact, have season-ending ACL surgery, and that surgery will sideline him for the estimated timeline is 9 months, is where you can begin to look at a recovery timeline. But as of right now, we certainly cannot project, and we certainly do not know where this thing stands right now. So here's the question tonight. Let's go. Let's talk. 404-726-0929. What should the Falcons do at quarterback now? I can't believe we're here. After signing Kirk Cousins 2 years ago, drafting Michael Penix, it seemed like by hook or by crook, one of those guys was going to be the long-term answer at quarterback. And Penix still may be. But when you have your fifth season-ending injury at the age of 25, 26, that's tough. That's tough to come back from, y'all. That puts you in a position where trust becomes a factor. Timelines become a factor. Everything's a factor now for Michael Penix Jr., including what the Falcons' current regime and potential future regime plans to do with him at quarterback. Do you trust him? Do you trust him now going forward? Because the unfortunate thing is, because we don't get to see him for the rest of the year, he gets an incomplete grade. So for football reasons, are you willing to say that he's the quarterback of the future? And then you throw on the injury on top of it. What are you supposed to do if you're the Atlanta Falcons? And we know for a fact that Kirk Cousins is not the answer. Even if he goes out and balls at the end of the year, he is set to make an astronomical amount of money next season. $57 million on the cap. No thanks. I'm good. He could throw, he could have a Matt Stafford type run where, by the way, if you haven't seen this, Stafford's on a 22 touchdown, zero interception run. Might have ended last week, but that's what he was going into Sunday. So he could do that, and I still would not pay Kirk Cousins at 38, 39 years old that much money to be my franchise quarterback. I wouldn't do it. Can't do it. So it's not going to be Kirk. So who is it going to be? So here's my question, 404-726-0929. Should Michael Penix Jr. still, without question, be the Falcons' long-term plan at quarterback? I think right now, it's tough to make that argument because of the injury history and because of the sample size. How can you sit here and say that you're comfortable with him completely moving forward based on the fact that he just suffered another season-ending injury? And the timeline for his recovery has not been made abundantly clear. We have no idea. I mean, the nine-month thing is being floated out there, but guys, everybody, you know the deal. Everybody heals differently. He needs to work his way back, and he may be coming into a situation, y'all, where he has a completely new offense to learn. And it's one thing to read a playbook. It is a completely different thing to go out there on the field and execute. So I don't know how entirely fair it is to put those expectations on his left shoulder. So 404-726-0929. Michael Penix Jr., should he still be the Falcons' number one tried and true plan for the future of this organization? Partially, you're hamstrung because you don't have a first round pick this year. So if you're in love with Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore, you know, there's not a ton of great options this year. That might actually be a blessing in disguise. Drafting a quarterback might not be the option. Maybe there's a guy you love in the second round to challenge Penix. Do you bring in a vet? Do you have a, do we do another stopgap year with a Jacoby Brissett type? Ugh, that makes me sick trying to think about that, y'all. That makes me absolutely sick. But that may be what we're looking at. Do you dare take on a reclamation project like a Kyler Murray, who's also making a lot of money, not as much as Kirk would be? So do you say that's a haircut? We bring in Kyler, see what he could do, whether with the current coaching staff, which I doubt, or a new coaching staff. There are options for the Falcons, or you could stay the course. You could stay the course and you could say, hey, when this dude comes back, he's our guy. There's no way that you can put your entire, you can put your entire basket, I guess is the way to put it, in the Michael Penix Jr. bucket. How can you? What has he shown to me that you are able to trust him to lead your franchise going forward? He started 12 games. He's been up and down, and now he's injured again. I can't, and that's the unfortunate part about it. And that's really the unfortunate part about it. So 404-726-0929. I can't do it. I haven't seen, like, you can't worry about, oh, he was the eighth overall pick. You can't worry about, oh, well, we hitched our wagon to him and to Kirk Cousins. It's really a situation where rocking a hard place with, you know, you got to sort of take, whether it's Terry Fontenot or it's somebody else, you have to take all of the emotion out of it. And it's tough because he's been in your building. He's been somebody that you have invested a lot of equity and time and sweat into. But you also have to do what's best for your franchise, right? You also have to do what is best for the Falcons at the end of the day. And right now, I don't know if Michael Penix is what's best for the Falcons. I want to hope so. But again, fifth season-ending injury of his career, 25, 26 years old? Really? I mean, I guess at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, do you feel like Arthur Blank on down has seen enough from this guy to make him the franchise quarterback? To keep him as the franchise quarterback? Because right now, I just don't know. Given the state of the franchise, all these decisions that are going to have to be made about the coaching staff on down, this guy is just the ultimate stuck in the crosshairs right now of a potential regime change, personnel change, scheme change. Does he fit what the current regime or a future regime wants to do, given what happened this season, given his injury history, and given the state of the franchise right now? There's every argument to keep him. He's flashed. He's shown talent. Great leader. Good head on his shoulders. Clearly he cares. We've seen how emotional he gets. He clearly wants to win. But at the same time, is it the best move for the franchise? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas Turtle taking you up until 10 o'clock. Your calls are next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Lines are jammed, so we will get right to your phone calls at 404-726-0929. What should the Falcons do at quarterback, man? It is so tough. We know it's not going to be Kirk Cousins because of the cap hit. We know, at least for now, it's not going to be Michael Penix Jr. as he recovers. But when he's healthy and ready to go, what should this team do? Should they just turn the keys to the castle back over to him? Should there be a competition? Should they bring in a stopgap vet? Should they try to draft somebody? All these options are on the table. What do you think they should do? Before we get to your calls, just want to remind you to join the morning shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, you play GM, whether it's Terry Fontenot or somebody else. 404-726-0929 with the news that Michael Penix Jr. is lost for the season. Jason kicks us off. Jason, go ahead.
How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Pretty good, man. Michael Penix is he's what we want, but I'm afraid we ain't gonna keep anybody we get anyway. You know, like Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Bijan, Drake London. If we can't get a winning some kind of winning culture, at least a tough culture, at least if we can't win, at least we're a competitive team that is something. I mean, I don't know, but yeah, it's got to be Penix or, like you said, a draft somebody, in maybe the second, third round. Hopefully he does something.
No,
that's all I got.
Yeah, Jason, appreciate it. It's tough. Like, can they just do that, though, Jason? That's the question, right? Like, can you just say, coming off of his third reconstructive knee surgery, two on one leg, now the other, two shoulder injuries that have cost, five seasons of his collegiate and NFL career to end prematurely? Is this a guy that you can bank on? I want to believe that it is, but it almost seems like it would be not doing your due diligence as an organization to at least explore other options. But if Jason is, somebody that's in full support of Penix, I can't deny that either. Because, listen, he was the guy that you drafted at number 8, and he was the guy that was supposed to be the long-term answer. But is he? Is he now, given what's happened? 3-7, 12 starts, not good, up and down. What is the state of this team at the quarterback position right now? Let's go to Scott up next. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, so I don't trust Michael Penix, and it's sad because, I invested in one of his, premium jerseys, but, it is what it is. You can't trust him at this point. He's had way too many injuries, and you put him out there, one more injury, and you're not only going to risk losing more money on him, but you're also going to risk further embarrassment, further destruction of the franchise. So I'm going to bring up a name that I'm sure not many people are thinking about, but he's done himself wonders this year, and that name is Mac Jones. Now, if that sounds silly to anybody, all he's done is go out there in relief of Brock Purdy and go 5-3 as a starter, throw for over 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He's a winner. He's won games. And the best part about it is San Francisco signed him to a 2-year, $7 million contract, which means he'll be cheap to get. So we can put a lot of talent around him. And, he's only 27 years old.
Scott,
so he's got a lot of football.
But here's the problem, and I'll let you finish. Why does he have those numbers? Why does he have those stats? You know why?
Shanahan.
You know why? You know why? Thank you, Oren. Scott, it's because of the coaching.
Now, also, too, Mac is signed through 2026. It's a cheap number next year, but...
So you'd have to trade for him.
There you go. And do the Falcons have this
assets,
bevy of assets right now they can trade for him? That's the unfortunate thing about it, Scott.
And, Oren, if I'm going to give up one of the... And Scott, thanks for the call. If I'm going to give up one of the precious few assets I do have, it's not going to be for Mac Jones, as good as he's played this year. 404-726-0929. But I like where your head's at, Scott, man. No bad ideas, right? Jacoby Brissett just set the single season passing record in the NFL for most completions in a game. There's guys out there that could come in, but that's if you believe that a stopgap guy should be the route that they should go. Or do you believe that somebody should legitimately come in here and challenge Penix? That's what we have to figure out, right? Ron is up next. Ron.
Hey, Turtle, how's it going tonight, bro?
What's up, Ron?
Man, I just can't believe we're even having this conversation at this time of year about all this stuff that we just can't seem to get it. What in the world happened? Why? Fontenot, what was the big deal about flying out there, getting this kid, signing a guy that's, an aging veteran, to an unbelievable deal, and then this happens. I mean, Matt Ryan, as long as he never got hurt. He never had a season-ending injury that I can recall, if you can. But it's got to be Fontenot and the staff, and like, why are we having this conversation? The other teams are doing fine. Why can't we be like them? I don't know. I mean, it's frustrating.
No, bro. Ron, yeah, of course it is. But I think at the end of the day, what some of these – we just brought up Mac Jones, right? Our guy Scott just brought up Mac Jones. The reason Mac Jones is able to have success in San Francisco is because of the coaching staff around him, because of Kyle Shanahan and his staff, who do a masterful job making chicken salad out of you-know-what with quarterbacks. Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, and he got paid and took the team to a Super Bowl. The Falcons couldn't have the furthest thing, Ron, from Kyle Shanahan and his staff at Flowery Branch right now. That's the difference. And until that changes, you're going to get the same result. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Norris is up next. Norris.
Hey, what's up, Turtle?
Yo.
So, I agree with the first caller, Jason. I'm terrified that all of the talent that we do have will not re-sign here because of the lack of competence from our front office. But that's a different story for a different day. I don't think that we should give up on Penix because, one, it's his opposite knee. Granted, I get it. It's both knees at this point, the shoulders, whatnot. All of the injuries that happened before were prior. They were collegiate injuries. He's gone a number of years without these injuries. I don't say you give up on him. But if I put on my DM cap, and you might think this is a little bit outlandish, and it's okay if you think so, but I would say you still trade Kirk in the offseason, get what you can get for Kirk, you wait on Penix to get healthy, and this is where it becomes a little bit outlandish. You call the Rams and you ask them what it would take to get Stetson Bennett to see what he's got while you wait for Penix, because then you might have a chance of, if Stetson Bennett is worthwhile, then you don't have to worry about Penix moving forward. But if not, then you still have Penix that you could fall back on, and you're not wasting your eighth pick of the draft where you signed a quarterback, drafted a quarterback, and then told us all it'll be okay and smiled in our face.
No, and I appreciate the phone call. Again, no bad answers here. Stetson Bennett could wind up being a decent quarterback in the NFL, but, oh, I need more than that. I need more of a proven – if we're going to go the proven –
I need starting experience.
Yeah. If we're going to go stopgap or we're going to go experiment here, like I'd rather have Mac Jones than – Stetson Bennett, because
you know who's an experiment? Kyler Murray's an experiment.
Or Kyler Murray, but the problem with Kyler Murray is he makes $40 million a year.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a huge, you're almost just trading off Kirk for Kyler. If you feel like Kyler's fixable under the right system, then hey, why not?
Stetson is also under contract next year, so that would also be a trade.
It costs you like a, what, seventh round pick?
That's one less pick you have, though, so that's the thing.
Because they still got, what's his name there, too? Jimmy G, right?
Jimmy G's there, yeah.
He's washed, but he's another option. 404-726-0929. Matthew's up next. Matthew.
Job said Turtle.
Oh.
It's, I think Falcons are kind of stuck, man. It's no first round pick. Got to keep Penix. Can sit there and give him a new OC. If it doesn't work out, no head coach is going to come with no first-round pick next year. Reset in the year after that and just kind of see where it goes.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, you can do that. But, I mean, my friend, how much more mediocrity can you stand at this point? Like, how much more losing can you take? I mean, we need solutions at this point. Like, Oren, you ready to sit here and sack another season? No, absolutely not. I am not in a position right now, if I'm a Falcons fan, to say I am signing up for another long-term project. I need solutions. I need answers. 404-726-0929. James is up next. James.
Hey, Turtle.
What up, James?
How's it going? Look, man, we just been having all kind of bad luck. I think Penny is our least problem right now. I mean, we got coaches in there. They're hiring players that's already broke up. How do you know he wasn't hurt when he got here? And they was trying to put him on hold until Kirk got it. Until Kirk got hurt. I just think that it's a bad luck team. I don't know, man. Because, I mean, even we had Shanahan here one time. We went to the Super Bowl. What happened there? The best coach took us, and we lost that. So, like I said, I think that's our least problem, man.
Well, Jay, it's unfortunate. It's systemic right now. That's the word to use. The Falcons have an organizational issue right now between the injuries, the coaching inefficiencies, the quarterback play, the leadership. I mean, it's a total mess right now. But you got to be able to reconnect and rebuild. And it all starts at the top with the most important position in sports. And you need a plan. Michael Penix Jr. is going to miss a significant amount of time. A, is he still given the keys to the castle when he gets back? Or do you have to seriously consider the future of the franchise? And it's not because we don't like him. We love him. I've gotten the privilege of being in meeting rooms with him and talking to him. Great kid, well-spoken, looks the part, acts the part, has the arm. But it's just not working out right now, and that's the bottom line. If you're on hold, stay there. Joe Patrick's going to hop in. More of your calls. We're going till 10 o'clock tonight on the phones, 404-726-0929. Dissecting this quarterback problem on Chris Thomas Tonight 2 at Kia Mall of Georgia with Allie Mack on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Going to talk to our insider, Joe Patrick, here. I'm curious to hear what the mood and the vibe has been like at Flowery Branch since the news came down about Michael Penix and everything else going down with this Falcons team. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football. Joe, let's just, before we dive into the ramifications of everything, let's make sure everything's straight, because there's been a lot of reporting about Michael Penix Jr.'s injury, his timeline for recovery, the type of surgery that he needs. So let's make it all nice and clear for the people. What is the injury? What is the expected timetable? And what is going on with Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah, I can make this crystal clear for everybody, because I know that there was some confusion on this today. He has a partial ACL tear. That is the diagnosis. But the recovery for that is a full reconstruction repair of the ACL. So regardless of how much was torn, that does not really affect the extent of how much time it's going to take for him to rehabilitate that injury. Now, I think that what the partial tear does indicate is that he will be able to basically be better once he does come back from it. Like, the ACL will just be in better condition once it is recovered. But the surgery is going to necessitate the full recovery, no matter if it was a full tear or partial tear or whatever. So he is going to be out for, what they say about ACLs nowadays is that it's a 9-month recovery. I think that is incredibly ambitious, to think that Michael Penix will be able to recover in 9 months and be playing NFL football at that point. I believe that, basically after 9 months, he will then be able to, I don't know about start doing physical stuff. I'm sure he'll obviously there will be a gradual implementation there. But you would think that after 9 months, he will hopefully at that point be able to start doing some football activities. And, the worrisome thing about this, Chris, is that I feel like most of the improvements that Penix had to make was with regards to a lot of the physical stuff, the accuracy, the footwork, potentially playing under center. And, that is the kind of stuff he's not going to be able to do during the duration of this rehab. So it's unfortunate for him, but he's going to be out for, you just consider it like anybody else if it had torn their ACL. That's basically what happened here.
Okay. So with all of that being said, the timeline for Kirk Cousins' remaining tenure in Atlanta, we know he's going to be the starting quarterback here for the rest of the season, but it seems like, based on the money, Joe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the most logical thing to do for the Falcons cap-wise is designate him as a post-June 1st cut, take a little bit of a hit, but ultimately not have to pay him or have him account for $50-plus million on the cap next year.
That's right. I believe Kirk Cousins will play for the Falcons for seven more games, and that will be the last time that he plays for the organization, because you're right. The most responsible thing to do, you know, really the Falcons, you know, because this has kind of really flipped the path of the organization and the team on its head, you know, now you really do have to prioritize kind of the cap sheet and what the salary cap looks like going into 2027, really. And, you know, that means that Kirk Cousins, you have to basically take whatever monies are left on the contract. And I haven't actually added up and actually done all the math and looked at the actual numbers, but you want to basically eat as much of that next year as possible. So that's what I believe is going to happen. And it was even reported even before Michael Penix was drafted and Kirk Cousins was thought to be the long-term quarterback, you know, for this team after he signed his deal. And I believe it was Albert Breer who wrote this column, but I could be wrong about that. But at the end of this, you know, lengthy report that kind of gave the inside access to the inner workings of how the deal came together, there was an anecdote, and at the end of that, talking about how Mike McCartney, his agent, shook hands with Terry Fontenot in the Falcons parking lot and said, "We'll see you here in 2 years," because that contract, that four-year, $180 million contract that was publicized, was never really a four-year contract. The terms of the deal were always structured so that after the first 2 years, they would come to an agreement to either release him, which is, you know, the path that we're currently on, or there was another path, obviously, where if he was playing amazing, they would essentially do a contract extension at that point and never get to the last 2 years of that deal, which are, like, incredibly pricey, obviously. So that's the situation we're at, and it really, that throws the Falcons' future up in the air, because you thought you had your quarterback situation sorted as much as you possibly could have, and ultimately this team doesn't really have any quarterback it can rely upon going into next season.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was going. Obviously, it's impossible to know what they're going to do, or even right now, because it's so early in the process, what the best option is. But do you feel like that it is in the best interest of the Falcons, based off of what you've seen so far in his career, to fully hand him the keys back once he's healthy? Or do you think it is prudent for the Falcons to, pun intended, have a backup plan, meaning either a veteran, a draft pick, or maybe even a trade for another established quarterback? Because, Joe, it's just the facts. We all love Michael Penix Jr. Yeah. and the potential yeah. talent, but you have five season-ending injuries by age 26. Yeah. You can't help it.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what's really unfortunate about it. And I'm sure the people, you know, in Flowery Branch and the offices upstairs are pulling their hair out about the fact that it's come down to this. And, you know, when you get into next year, that will be obviously the third year of his deal. And you hope, I think, you know, the best case scenario in terms of, like, getting, you know, making this Michael Penix's team again is, you know, let's just call it halfway through next season, although it might even be a little bit later than halfway through next season. You're able to kind of get him back as the QB1. And basically at that point, you're continuing the evaluation, which is, like, it's shocking to be still evaluating, making kind of like the initial evaluation of your quarterback in his third year of the NFL. But, you know, that's just the way, obviously, it's going to have come together at that point. And, you know, then you're approaching, you know, whether you want to actually do the fifth year option for him, if you want to, you know, kind of pull that trigger. And if you do, you know, at the end of that, you know, that offseason, next offseason, you will not have had many games to actually look at to evaluate. And that's, you know, a costly move to make. And so that's where, when you start to think, like, long term about it, you do think that, okay, I think the Falcons have to be considering a different long term plan. And it's not to say that you just kind of throw Michael Penix out the window. He should definitely get looks next season. And, you know, again, that was kind of the whole point of the rest of this season, basically, was to continue that evaluation. But, you know, the Falcons aren't going to have that opportunity for another year. So you have to get someone in. And, you know, I think that you are obviously looking at somebody who's kind of that cost-effective type of quarterback, whether that's, like, you know, I feel like Jacoby Brissett is now, like, the perfect model, basically, for this type of quarterback that you want to get in, that can at least kind of keep the ship generally going in the right direction, but not, you know, necessarily the long-term solution. So you're going to have to get a quarterback in like that. I think the bigger question is whether this team needs to go back to the draft and, you know, again, spend kind of their top capital on a quarterback. And obviously they don't have a first round pick this year, but do they need to do that in the future? You know, time will tell.
Is it even fair, as we're talking with Joe Patrick, check out Joe Patrick on Football 92 on the Game, Falcons Insider. Like, is it? And then the other thing too, Joe, is you just peel back the onions and it's just unbelievable how deep this thing goes. Is it even fair to judge Kirk Cousins right now, given the state of the offense with Zach Robinson, no Drake London, Chris Lindstrom banged up, Bergeron banged up? I mean, is it even Mooney can't catch a cold? I mean, what is Kirk even dealing with right now?
I know. And for that reason, Chris, I fear what could happen on Sunday. And by the way, the Saints are 1.5-point favorites over this Falcons team right now, which shows you just kind of the depths that they've hit really, you know, really suddenly over these last, you know, the last month or so. Things have just been in a tailspin they can't get out of. But honestly, I don't expect great things, you know, because of what we've seen from Kirk Cousins. Not only in his couple starts this year where, you know, or his couple of appearances this year where you can say, okay, well, he didn't get the week of training, you know, the practice game plan kind of around him because things were up in the air. But even at the end of last year, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe he wasn't even fully healthy at that point. But I have seen no indication that Kirk Cousins is going to beat opponents with his arm, especially when he doesn't have Drake London in the lineup. Because what I've seen, Chris, is when Kirk Cousins plays, teams stack the box to stop Bijan Robinson. They blitz and make sure they get pressure on Kirk Cousins, and they play really aggressive man coverage against these wideouts and say, beat us over the top, Kirk Cousins. You know, beat us over the top. Beat us with a deep ball. And I just don't think that he really has that in him. And I don't even know if the Falcons receivers are all that capable of creating separation for him to even make those throws and have those opportunities. So it's going to be, I think, a really tough stretch for this Falcons offense here down the end of the season.
About the defense, also equally frustrating, Joe, because you look at it, they got like almost the most sacks in the entire NFL, which they haven't done that since, I think, before you and I were born. And then you look at the rest of the defense, and in three games this season, you give up 185 total yards to McCaffrey, 300 yards to Jonathan Taylor, and then almost 500 yards passing to Bryce Young. So, like, which is it? Like, are they Jekyll or are they Hyde? It's so frustrating, Joe.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, I give a lot of credit to Jeff Ulbrich, especially earlier in the season, for kind of being able to frankly scheme up and being clever with this defense and scheme around their opponents. And they had some success early in the year, but I think that what we're starting to see in these more recent weeks, especially when they've been starting to miss some players, whether it's Zach Harrison on the defensive line or last week when the team was without basically three cornerbacks, like three of their best cornerbacks outside of AJ Terrell, you just can't kind of scheme around all these things, and you can't plug up every single hole, and ultimately these opposing offenses have been able to sniff out these vulnerabilities in the Falcons defense and been able to exploit them rather ruthlessly. And I asked Jeff today, Ulbrich, you know, about this team and kind of where they are, and he said that one of the things that he's got to kind of, you know, manage with these individual players is not to feel like you're doing too much, because with everything that's going on, obviously, on the offense, people feel, you know, for Penix, and there's a lot of emotion there, but there's also like an understanding, like we need to be better to help carry this team. And I think what he said was that, you know, these players have a tendency to try to overstep and just do too much. It's not out of like, it's actually what you want to see in terms of having like the energy and motivation to help the team. But ultimately, if you're trying to do somebody else's job and your own, that's kind of an impossible task. And it feels like it's possible to players. They feel like they're supermen out there, but ultimately they are mere mortals. And so, you know, he's just going to have to be clever with the way that he phrases, calls like deploying resources, how he deploys his defensive resources towards their opponents. And maybe this week is a little bit easier of a task, obviously, against a Saints offense that is not as dynamic as some of the ones they've seen so far this year. But, you know, frankly, they've just not been very good over the last few weeks, despite the fact that they have been able to do, like you said, Chris, the one thing that they kind of had as their goal coming into this season, which was to rush the passer. They've been doing a great job of that, but it's not really helping in the results.
Before I let you go, what do you make of Raheem Morris's stoic approach and process with the media dealing with this losing streak? It feels like the fans are starting to get a little sick and tired of some repetitive coach speak, and that his lack of emotion and also seemingly, to a certain extent, I think these are my words, not yours, isolating at least a portion of the fan base by saying things like, you know, emotions are for y'all. Those are for y'all to process. We need to be here sort of on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like pity almost. He doesn't seem to have solutions. At least he's not presenting any kind of to us. It's tough. Like I feel for him because, you know, everything is kind of blown up in his face, so to speak. But also it's like, I don't know. I don't see a lot of like, you know, and I hesitate, Chris, just because like, you know, what he says to us and what he says to his team behind closed doors and what he's presenting to us and what he's presenting to his team can be totally different things. But like, I just don't sense like a great concept of how to motivate this group going forward, or not even motivate, but just like tactically how to get them functioning in a better way, because this offense has been frankly dysfunctional for the better part of the last month, even with Michael Penix. So, and it's a shame because things were looking so much better with him having that, you know, 11 for 12 first half last week. And it looked like, you know, maybe you were starting to get something going, but I'm kind of with you, Chris, and just the general feeling of just not inspiring a lot of confidence. And it's a shame because, you know, that's like the one thing that you kind of rely on Raheem Morris to do is inspire confidence. And it just kind of feels like managed decline at this point.
Joe, great stuff. We'll talk next week. We'll see what Kirko and part two here has for us in store. It's going to be a very interesting rest of the season here. Great stuff on the pod. We'll chat next week.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Joe Patrick there. Now it's back to you. You just heard Joe Patrick's take on it. You're the GM right now. Put your GM hat on. What are we doing? Hang on, Randy. I'll get to you. What are you doing about this quarterback situation? Do you still have enough confidence in Penix being the future guy to just hand the keys back to him when he's healthy? Or do you need to either trade for a vet? Do you need to try to draft somebody? Do you need to try to bring in a free agent for some competition? Or is Penix still the guy, bar none? It's tough. 5 season-ending injuries, 12 starts, mixed bag of results. We're taking your calls on it next. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight.